Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I was doing some reading, and of course, as a pastor, we read continually, it seems like. But one of the articles I was reading began with Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, where it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven." I believe it's time to serve the Lord. I believe that we live during a time in which our nation, which is drifting from the scriptures and from the teachings of the Bible, have turned their eyes to other things. And I believe that believers need to serve the Lord faithfully. The book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I believe it's important that we are in the house of God listening to the word of God. When I began working on my sermon, I'm not always sure where it's going to end. Not that I don't know what time it's going to end, because if I go beyond 12 o'clock, some of you will just get up and leave. But where we'll end with our sermon. But if you would, let's stand together, if you're able. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 3. And it says, "But if our gospel be hid..." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, had been carved into the stone behind the boys' dormitory when I was in Bible college. And as I read it, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." We need to be testimonies for the cause of Christ. And verse 4 says, "In whom the god of this world," Satan, "the devil, the god of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Would you please turn over to chapter 6? We'll begin reading at verse 16. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, for the encouragement to remain strong and separate for your honor and your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Please take your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. When I graduated from Bible college in 1975, and for some of you, that was a very long time ago. And before I started working here at the Covenant Baptist Church, I had worked a short period of time at a place called Tregg Roofing. It was located on 22 Mile Road near the freeway. It's no longer there. And it wasn't long before the men that were there realized there was a little something odd about this guy. He didn't cuss. And when it rained at 8 o'clock in the morning, they couldn't go new hot tar roofing. They would start drinking. They weren't drinking Pepsi-Cola. And they would offer yours truly a beer. And the first thing that came to mind was my mother's face. You know, there are some things you don't want, and that one of them is to disappoint your mother. And I told them, no, thank you. And they were, of course, offended. How dare I not join in with their drinking? We find in our society today that many times they believe you can't have fun if you're not drinking. The fact of the matter is you have as much fun or more fun if you're not. The book of Proverbs over and over again warns against the drinking. And we are going to begin at verse 29 of Proverbs 23. Verse 29. And it says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. In June of 1987, my father received a letter from a family that had joined our church in December of 1982. So almost 5 years after they had joined. And the letter said, and may I paraphrase, that they wished their names to be removed from our membership. The reason being because I had taught in the young adult class that I didn't believe that believers should drink. Not even so-called social drinking. After the class, this couple made a beeline to me and approached me and told me I was wrong. That they thought there was nothing wrong with having a glass of wine at a family gathering or a wedding reception. And I said to them, so if your son is at a gathering of friends that are smoking marijuana, it's okay if he smokes a joint to be social. They said, oh, that was different. And I said it wasn't. And so the letter was sent. And so they left. A couple of years later, they showed up on a Sunday morning. I must admit, I was quite surprised to see the two of them come walking in. And after the service, they approached me and they said they wished they had listened, because their son's social marijuana usage had become a full-blown addiction to other drugs. A former member of our church told me that at one time he had been a deacon at another Baptist church. At that church, he had taught Sunday school, he had worked on the church bus, and he had sang in the church choir. He and his wife and his children were all faithful in attending that Baptist church. And then his co-workers invited him to go out with them for an after-work drink. He said he knew he shouldn't, but he wanted to fit in with the crowd. The one drink led him down a trail that destroyed his family. His wife moved to the bedroom down the hall. All his children stopped attending church. Interestingly enough, all of his children, knowing the mess that was made because of alcohol, all became drinkers, and some with drinking problems. I read this article published by the Associated Press a number of years ago. It said a British charter plane had to make an emergency landing in Munich because a drunken passenger slugged his girlfriend and started brawling with the other passengers. German police had to handcuff the man and drag him off the plane. After sobering up in the airport security cell, the man discovered that the airport had charged him $3,000 for the emergency landing and extra jet fuel. Those were expensive drinks. A well-known Christian author, H.A. Ironside, writes, "Indulgence in the pleasures of the wine cup to the inebriation, I know I'd get that word out sooner or later, is a prolific cause of human sorrow. Drunkenness is one of the greatest curses of the ages. Yet it is a sin that seems ever seductive and attractive to the sociably inclined. The results often beggar all description. What seems so delightful and innocent becomes like a venomous reptile taken into the bosom, whose bite sets the veins on fire. Immorality is linked with drunkenness as effect with cause. Self-respect goes when the brain is controlled by the deadly poison. Lust and looseness possess the being." Ironside continues, "It becomes the child of God to flee these things, and by sobriety and self-control to be an example to those who are weaker. To play fast and loose with this has ruined so many of our fellow men is certainly not to walk wisely therein." Unquote. While my wife's parents were still alive, they rented a place in Florida. And this one year, they had invited us to come down. And so we went to the airport, going to be flying out of Metro down to the airport there near Tampa Bay. There was a two-hour delay of our flight, which meant 2 hours that the majority of those going on the plane, well, where were they? They were in the lounges. They were in the bars. As we got on the plane, the man behind was cussing and swearing. And I turned around and I asked him to please. I said there was no need for this talking. But it didn't take me long to realize that he had been into the bottle. And he actually said, when we get to Florida, we'll take care of some things. I thought, you won't be hard to take care of. We got out onto the runway and we were next to go, when all of a sudden the pilot said, "We are returning back to the airport." The rowdy bunch that was on the plane became silent. I think everybody knew something was going to happen. So the plane went back to the airport and everything was hooked up for someone to come on, and three of the largest Wayne County sheriff men you've ever seen came on the plane. They were so big they had to walk sideways down the aisle. And they walked by the guy that was behind me, and I could hear him audibly say, "Ah." And they took another passenger because he would not sit down. They took him off the plane. The man behind me leaned forward and said, "I'm so sorry. It won't happen again." I was glad. You've probably been someplace where someone, because of alcohol, was having a very difficult time. I still remember the time being at then Tiger Stadium before they moved to where they are now. The man behind me was inebriated, and he dropped his hot dog on the back of my jacket. He liked mustard on his jacket. Yes. J. Edgar Hoover wrote, "Aggravated assault and rape occur every hour in the U.S. With it, police and court records will show that much of this results from drink. Another study shows that those who perform in adult entertainment centers and or the producing of pornographic material are under the influence of alcohol or drugs. And yet we live in a society that glorifies drinking." Terrell Gordon writes in his article entitled "The Tragedy of the Upturned Bottle," number one, drinking sustains sin. It promotes crime and broken homes. It promotes prostitution, adultery, and fornication. Second, it sacrifices security. Battered and abused mates and children can attest to the results of drinking and drunkenness. Many a man or woman can tell of losing their job due to drinking or drug abuse. Third, it steals souls. It perverts reasoning. It precludes repentance. It closes heaven's doors to individuals. Again, I read from Lawrence O. Richards, who comments on Proverbs 23 and the verses we've read. It says, he writes, "The drunken person is quarrelsome, and his senses are so dulled he is likely to get into a fight when none exist. They waste time drinking and looking for some new drink to try. So do drug users, constantly looking for a different high. They focus on its sensory appeal rather than elevate its poisonous impact on their lives and relationships. When they are intoxicated, they can neither see nor think straight." My mother was a patient at the Pontiac General Hospital, where she learned that she had breast cancer. Beside her in the bed, obviously in another bed, but the other bed in the room was a young teenage girl. She'd been walking on the sidewalk, going home, when a person driving the car, intoxicated, lost control and went up on the sidewalk and hit her, nearly killing her. We could all give stories of things like that. When Mrs. Hebbard still was alive and coming to our church, her next door neighbor's son was driving down one of the mile roads when a fireman had gotten off duty and headed to a bar. Walking out of the bar, he got into his car, and instead of stepping on the brake, he stepped on the gas, accelerating the car, hitting a ridge and flying into oncoming traffic, killing Mrs. Hebbard's next-door neighbor's son. There's always an outcry, and there's always those who say, oh, there should be something done. And yet such mixed signals are sent out. They glorify it on television that people are having fun in the bars and they're enjoying themselves. Well, there's always one who's had too much, and of course the program revolves around the one who's had too much to drink or had too much alcohol or drugs. Yet the Bible warns against it. And like I said, I don't always know where sermons are going to go. And in this time, it just seemed like it just moved along this path. Think of the professional athletes who have ruined their careers because of alcohol and or drugs. Too many of our college students binge drink on weekends, ending up in all kinds of problems. Let's go back here to Proverbs chapter 23, if you would, please. Verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Now, I have been on a cruise. My wife and I, celebrating an anniversary, went to Alaska. And I'll be honest with you, we hit some rough water. In fact, the water was so rough as you walked down the aisle between the rooms on the left and the right, we were going back and forth and having to hold on to the handles. And I thought, I don't like this. Maybe you've had such an existence. My dad has talked about when he left the state of Washington and was headed towards Korea for the Korean War at that time. And he was talking about the soldiers who were all getting sick because of the waves, up, the down, the twisting, the turning. Can you imagine trying to sleep like that? And that the Bible talks about the one that's drunk is like one that is trying to sleep in the midst of the sea. But he that lieth on the top of a mast, they're up at the top and the mast is going from one side to the other in heavy water. It'd be an awful hard time to sleep. But that is what it's like if you are one who's drunk. But let me say this to you, that Satan's desire is to keep our minds on the so-called pleasures of life. He will make us think that we are missing out if we don't indulge. Alcohol and drug abuse leads to lewdness, poverty, homelessness, immorality, rape, brutality, road rage, the loss of jobs, the loss of respect. I like it that my grandkids can come to our house. How many of you like having grandkids come to your house? Yes. It's a special time. My mother and dad never let us spend time overnight at my grandparents' house. You say, why, Pastor Paul? Why couldn't you spend nights alone with your grandparents? Well, why do you think? Because of alcohol. Because of what it could do. You say, Pastor Paul, does it bother you? Absolutely, it bothers me. My wife could tell you of what she saw as a teenager when her parents, before they got saved, what alcohol did to them. May I encourage you? Do what's right. I believe that it's best to leave it alone. I'm not talking just because of the signs along the side of the road that get knocked over. Aren't you glad you're not a road sign? The mailboxes too. That's right. But I have seen what alcohol does to people. I have seen the battered mates, and not just women. I've seen battered males, because women can have issues too. I've had children tell me of the fact they could never bring anybody home. But alcohol gets into our system and it takes us away from the Lord. And anything that takes us away from the Lord is wrong. The despisers of those that are good, I still remember them there at Tregg Roofing calling me preacher and saying, preach to us. And they didn't like that when I'd take out my New Testament and open it to John chapter 3, verse 16 and began reading. They'd all leave. I'm glad you don't. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You say, Pastor Paul, what can we do? What should we do? Well, Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. The love of the Lord should be the desire of our heart. Shall we stand together? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd be glad to show you from the Word of God what you need to do to have Him become your Lord and Savior. And I know sometimes it's hard to give an invitation after a sermon like this, because if you come forward, everyone's going to think, oh, he's got a drinking problem. Well, you never know. He may be coming forward to pray for you. But maybe you want to come forward and pray for a son or a daughter or a mother or a dad or someone that you know that has become addicted to alcohol or drugs, and they need the Lord. Maybe you just like to come forward and say, Lord, just give me strength to remain proper. We'll give you that opportunity in just a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we don't know who needed this sermon today, but you laid it upon our heart. And Lord, you just gave us point after point. And we ask, Lord, that your will be done. May the Spirit move and hearts be touched. Lord, give us strength in this day in which alcohol and drugs run so rampant. Give us strength to remain strong and sober. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.